We're going to take a look now at Guantanamo Bay. Nearly everything surrounding the detention of Guantanamo Bay prisoners, John, as we've been talking about on many shows, has been shrouded in secrecy, controlled by the military. And that, along with the geography of the place itself, has made it tough for reporters to cover just about in every sense of the word. Currently, the trial of Osama bin Laden's former driver is going into its second week. Journalists covering it have had to abide by very strict Pentagon rules. One such journalist is USA Today's Alan Gomez. He has just returned, and he joins us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Now, give us a sense of what those rules were set by the Pentagon.
Wow. Okay. Not quite sure where to begin there, but
let's start at the beginning. For you to get to Guantanamo Bay, what do you have to do? You don't just call American Airlines and make a reservation, do you?
Well, exactly. You have to. What they're doing right now for the media is we have to fly down on pre-selected media flights that we have to be approved on very early in advance. And for example, for this Hamdan trial, their original intention was to have us go down there on July 12th, even though the trial didn't start until the 21st. So as you can imagine, for people, it's kind of hard to be down there for about a month and a half to cover a trial. So that was the beginning of many complications.
So they were requiring you to be there on the 12th?
Exactly. As they explained it to us, that as a matter of transparency, they wanted to make sure that we could be there for all the pretrial motions and things like that, and pretty much every media organization had to get together to lobby the Pentagon to allow us to go down on a flight closer to the beginning of the trial, which they ended up doing. We got down there the day after the trial started on a military flight, but that took quite a bit of emails, phone calls, and harassment before that came through.
And even when you got there now, having missed the opening statements of the trial, you had an escort, right? And what did that person do? I mean, did they sleep next to you in the bunk or what?
Not quite that close, but no doubt that you could not go anywhere on base. You could not go anywhere without having some sort of escort with you. Understanding it's a Navy base, so we kind of understand it at some point. But, Guantanamo generally is a very laid-back base, lovely beaches, all that sort of thing down there. So to be down there and then be secluded in one area where you can't walk anywhere, aside from going from your tent, media center, to the courthouse, was obviously a little odd.
And you don't have to wear an orange suit when you're down there like the prisoners at Camp X-Ray. But what impact does it have on your reporting, do you think, this kind of scrutiny?
And actually, to correct one thing, if you do want to go jogging, you do have to wear an orange suit.
No kidding. Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, just a vest or something, just so the guards don't mistake you as you're going from place to place. But in actually covering the trial, the restrictions are rather strange and something obviously we're not used to here in the United States. The video folks, anytime they shoot any kind of video, which isn't allowed inside the courtroom, but their video has to be screened by military folks before they can send it back. Same thing for still photographers. For the reporters, they don't actually screen our writing or anything like that. But, what you're allowed to see is obviously a little more limited than what it is in American courts.
But they're not essentially reading over what you're writing or looking through the dispatches that you're sending back to USA Today. Are they fundamentally, the hardships of dealing with this kind of monitoring, is it fundamentally changing what you're reporting?
To a small degree, I would say yes. There's some of the biggest complications arise with, not with them reading, because they absolutely do not read anything that we send down. But for example, when you're covering the trial, as in most courts, when they introduce any kind of evidence, everyone's entitled to get that evidence. If they show a video, you can get a copy. If they show a PowerPoint presentation, both of which they've done during the course of this trial, you're allowed to see it afterwards and review it and things like that. Not the case in this one. We're not quite sure if it's security or what kind of reasons, but we haven't been given any of that.
So you get a quick look at it just as the jury does. But it's also a different kind of trial, right? Because you're talking about military members on this jury, and they get to ask questions just like the judge. Did you see any of that?
Not as of yet. I know during jury selection, they were talking a little bit more back and forth. The judge himself has asked questions of a couple of the witnesses, very brief questions, but that's something that's more common for military commissions of any sort, but obviously unique to this one as well.
Alan Gomez, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Alan Gomez reports for USA Today, and he just returned from Guantanamo Bay.
Where it's unlikely that anyone at Camp X-Ray will be pardoned by the Bush administration, but we're asking about the list of people that every administration gets, periodically throughout its entire time in office. Who to pardon? The Constitution allows the president to pardon in an unrestricted way virtually anyone. Who would you pardon if you were the president? Who do you think should be pardoned?
Marion Jones has asked for a pardon. John Walker Lynn has asked for a pardon. And Randall Duke Cunningham, the former congressman from California. Do you think any of them deserve a pardon? 877-8-MY-TAKE.